Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
This is the thing that is terrifying for anyone still rooting for Mitch. You mentioned the fifth-year option that did not sign him in the spring. It usually is the proverbial writing on the wall. It doesn't mean Mitch can't show up and win this thing, especially with the weird offseason. But I also will finish with this. Matt Nagy has quarterback blood running through his veins. It is his football oxygen. He is a quarterback guy. He did not draft Mitch Trubisky. John Fox drafted Mitch Trubisky. That is someone else's kid, and he loves him, and he roots for him, but it is not his guy, and never underestimate quarterback guys having their own guy. I think it really is going to be Foles unless Mitch just absolutely kills it.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
We got several more weeks, maybe a couple of months, to continue that debate about which guy winds up under center should the Bears actually open the season as scheduled against the Detroit Lions, I think the second Sunday in September. Glad you're with us today. I'm Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins has the day off. Mark Grody is on in relief. And Grody, before we get to the Bears, I just want to let you know I was playing with you via my last text, and I said, please, 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 please don't click like on any text. Leave that for social media. I'm only playing with you. You can click like all you want on my text. But that I got past it. I found that really off-putting early on when people started liking or laughing at texts. Like, what am I, a mirage? You can't give me a thumbs up or a fist bump. You can't just click like. It just seems
so. Oh, no, Dan.
Yeah.
Dan, look at me. Look at me. I hate it when people do that. I do it to people. But I can't stand it. It's a complete blow off. It is an end to the conversation. It is them saying, this is all I have time for. Do not text again. So I do use it. And the only reason I use it usually is when we are in the midst of three or four people being together. So you know that that is my response. But I kind of hate it too. But I'm not too good to do it to other people.
Okay. All right. Very cool. Let's get to these Bears, shall we? Let's talk about what they did so far with personnel to make themselves better offensively. As we start to look forward to a training camp that is going to happen at some point, you know, your assessment, and we've talked about the draft picks offensively, talking about Cole Kmet and also the wide receiver later in the draft, Darnell Mooney out of Tulane, Arlington Hambright, and Lechavius Simmons, the tackles in the seventh round. Are they considerably better with anybody they picked up via the draft? We'll get to free agents in a second, but based on your knowledge of what they did draft-wise, offensively, how much better are the Bears?
Well, probably not. I think that the one, well, you said we'll get to, well, I guess the trade of for Nick Foles. That makes you better. Here is what the Bears are depending on in terms of their offense improving this year. There's some very specific things that I could point to. Anthony Miller making the jump. He started to do it in the second half of last year where he had some big games, and he started to look like he did for flashes in his rookie year. So that's one thing. Will Miller take the next step? The next guy that I would put on my list is Tariq Cohen. Is Cohen going to reemerge as the player he was in 2018, a guy for whom other teams had a game plan for? And teams did the same thing last year, but the Bears did not adjust. They were not able to free up Tariq Cohen, who was becoming a great offensive weapon. And then there were just a big decrescendo last year. So you have to see if those two guys are going to get better. David Montgomery, the third guy on my list, Mac. We asked the question, I asked you and Parko all the time when I would come in with you guys, is David Montgomery good? We don't know, because whether it was the offensive line, whether it was the lack of volume, whether it was the strategy, the scheme, Montgomery never really got off last year. So is he good? Is he what the Bears thought he was when they moved up in the third round to get him? So those are just a few of the guys on this roster who the Bears, I think, are depending on, and I think fans should look at too as possible ways to get better. So to answer your question, I'd say no, that they didn't necessarily make themselves considerably better, but they could become better if these guys on the roster already become what I think they can be.
Yeah, all right, we throw free agents into the mix. I'm okay with the Teddy Ginn signing. I'm not doing cartwheels over it, but he gives them something they haven't had, and that's speed at the wide receiver position. I think they're better with him than without him. Regarding your comments with Anthony Miller, has he done enough that would give you a reason to believe he's capable of stepping up and making a contribution that is more than peripheral?
It's a great question, man. I thought his rookie year, like, based on what he did that year, I think he was second on the team in touchdowns, I want to say. I think he led wide receivers on that team that year in touchdown catches. It looked like he was on that trajectory, and then it fell off in the first half last year. He's had the shoulder injuries, which have been constant. And then in the second half, he was really good. It just depends on if Miller continues to be earnest in his learning and staying within the scheme and not improvising. It's almost like he tried to play too much of the way he was when he was at Memphis, where he was allowed to like improvise and to be himself a little bit more in terms of the actual play. They struggled with him in terms of the playbook and getting him to stay within the offense. If they can continue to reel him in, and if Anthony Miller takes it seriously, then yes. But I guess I just took way too long and gave too many factors as to things that he's got to get better at before he's going to be good. But I mean, he's got it all. He's got it all. He's got the speed. He's got the toughness. He, you know, he is a good route runner when he thinks. And he can go at all different spots on the field. So the rough draft of Anthony Miller is a really good football player, but it hasn't been molded that way yet.
Okay, right. You know, with the trigger man being such a potential problem, whether it's Mitch or Nick, my hope is, and it's only a hope, I don't feel confident this will actually happen, because I think they miscalculated on some of their offensive linemen. But Grody, I am longing for the day when we talk about the Bears tackle to tackle, or if you want to include the wide tight end, the blocking tight end, that's fine too. We talk about them, the first name out of our mouths isn't the offensive line coach. And I feel that's where it's going again. Why are the Bears better on the – well, they got Juan Castillo. I heard the same thing when Harry Hiestand returned after being in South Bend for a little while. It's you know, I think they overpaid, and I think the flip-flopping last year between center and guard was probably not very productive. That probably set them back. I don't know really, while we talk about all these – skilled position players, you know, whether they're going to step up and whether aging free agents like Ginn are still going to make a difference. Does it really matter if that offensive line can't make life easier on the quarterback by establishing some tone up front and not be so soft in its run block game? They're terrible at it.
Amen, man. And first, I do want to address the Juan Castillo, Harry Hiestand thing, because you're spot on, man. Like, they've been telling us about every time we talk to Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace to a lesser degree, we hear about like how pumped up Juan Castillo is going to be. And how, you know, like, you're going to hear this guy. You know, like, he is boisterous. He is in their face, which is great. And I'm sure he is a really good offensive line coach. And so was Harry Hiestand. Here's the thing. I was down on the sideline for every single Chicago Bears game. You know who else is an in-your-face, yell-at-you guy? Harry Hiestand. Harry Hiestand, Dan, he's a yeller, man. He got guys' faces. You could hear his voice. You could hear what was going on. Like, I could have done every sideline report on, you know, and I could end it all with, and Harry Hiestand just yelled at another player. Like, I'm not really sure. It's interesting that they use that as a point of emphasis in terms of, yeah, this is why Juan Castillo is good, because he's loud. So was Harry Hiestand, and Harry Hiestand was so loyal to his guys and, you know, just trying to make them better. Now, as far as offensive line, the guy, you know who I think it's got to have a big year, because you kind of know what you got with this offensive line. And I think there will be a different right guard. I think it will be Jermaine Ifedi. I think Rashad Coward, they just can't afford to assume that he's going to be the guy to start at guard for 16 games. James Daniels has got to become a big-time player this year. You know, this is a guy they moved up in the second round to get, that they have moved around on the offensive line. He started at center last year, then moved to guard. They had to put Cody Whitehair back in at center. I don't really believe Whitehair, like, I think he's down with it because he's a good player, but I think Whitehair is much more comfortable playing guard. And they've got to figure out a way to make him worth where they drafted him. And maybe, and we haven't really asked this question yet, it's possible James Daniels goes back to center, because part of the reason they changed that, they shuffled it, is because Mitchell Trubisky was more comfortable having Cody Whitehair as the center. So I would look at guys like that, like James Daniels, to get better, considering where they picked him and considering what they invested in him.
All right, I want to go back to last Friday's show for a minute to bring in the Bears head coach, who made his second appearance on our afternoon show. He joined Danny and me in training camp, and he was with Danny and Spiegel last Friday, and one of the things Parkins wanted to know about was that running game.
Hey, I know Bears fans, and I know you don't have much time. They're very excited because, yes, you are just getting started. We talked to a lot of Bears fans, young, old, and I loved when you said, you know, they didn't bring me in here to run the I formation, because I saw what you did in Kansas City and what they just did last year, and I'm a young guy, and I want you guys throwing it all over the field. But we got, like, old-school, bear-down, bear-weather Bears fans that listen to this radio station. What can you tell them about, like, a pledge to the running game, or where you feel like the running game exists in Bear football in 2020? Because a lot of people have questions about it, Matt.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think when you look at, you know, the last couple of years with where we've been, we reflect and we understand that we need to be better in the run game. And so when your run game isn't, you know, quite as good as you want it to be, it's at times hard to call runs. At the same time, we need to do whatever's best for our team. We need to adjust and adapt as coaches to who our players are, right? And you can't just do that in year one if you don't know exactly who your players are, because you haven't had them. Now that we've had a couple years as a staff to figure out what our players' strengths are and what their weaknesses are, now we are able to work together with them and put together a product on the field that we think is a lot better. And if that means running the ball a lot more, shoot, we are going to do it. And you, so you totally understand when you say the old school way or the I formation, whatever we need to do, we'll do that. Now, at the same point in time, you want to make sure that you also have those pieces to be able to do that. And there's a lot more. I could get a lot deeper with this than where we're at right now level-wise, but there's reasons behind that. And we feel like we're in a good place right now to be able to move forward and be very multiple in what we do. And trust me, all of our players, all of our coaches are doing everything we can to know that we need to be a lot better than where we were last year offensively. And I think that's the beauty, is there's no finger pointing. It's all about solutions. It's about working together. It's moving on. 2018 and 2019, for us right now, they're gone. We're on to 2020. We don't waste time talking about that. We're on 2020 right now.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy last Friday right here on the Scores Afternoon Show with Parkins and Spiegel. Solutions. Solutions can be provided by way of a more physical August, if there's August, playing your first group for a half of a football game a couple of times in a scrimmage. I don't know why. I will be staggering. I'll be stunned if he does that again this year. You have got to get that first group. And he's talked about both quarterbacks also playing in preseason games, Grody. But there's something early in that soundbite that really bothers me. Do you know what it was? Did anything raise your eyebrows or roll your eyes?
I mean, in general, I felt every time he answers a question about the running game, I feel and hear conflict in his voice, and I hear long answers with filibustering, quite frankly, like where he's just all over the board. But what specifically did you hear?
When you don't run the ball well, you don't want to call runs. You still have to keep calling runs. You know, if your offense is a challenged one, and he's got to at some point recognize it is, you've got to stay committed to it and not abandon it after seven tries against a backup quarterback when the New Orleans Saints were in town and were missing some of their best players and just embarrassed the Bears on the line of scrimmage, both sides. That was clearly the ugliest offensive performance of the season. But when if you average 1.9 yards per carry, but you have 25 or more rushes and you have the ball for 34 minutes, Grody, that's a winning formula with a great defense. And I'm not sure if Matt is ever going to get his head wrapped around that.
I don't think so either. I mean, one of his look, what he always said when he came here was that he wants damn touchdowns. He doesn't want field goals. He didn't want to hear about the field goal kicker. That's, you know, some of the irony with the field goal march that we had, that they had to deal with field goal kickers. He hates that concept. He wants touchdowns, touchdowns, touchdowns. And the fastest way to touchdowns is to throw the ball down the field. I mean, it is at his core. You could feel him being conflicted. Every time the run game comes up, he is good about admitting that there needs to be more of it and that it's everybody's fault. And it's not just the running back. It's not just the offensive line. It's the coaches. It's the scheme. But at this point, and I get this coming from a Bears fan perspective, from you Bears fans out there, that his words at this point probably shouldn't mean anything when he talks about the running game. It's going to be a wait and see if he actually does it. Now, I think that after 2 years of his offense not working the way he wants it to, that might have broken him. And I stress the word might have broken him. And some of this might depend on whether or not Nick Foles is the quarterback, because he may be re-energized by his offense if he has Foles in place. But it is the running game is just not in his nature. It is not part of what he believes in. It's not part of his core. So no matter what he says, you wait and see. We'll see what it looks like when we get there.
We're uncertain about the number one running back, Montgomery. On the depth chart right now, who's behind him? Cohen? And that's it? Are undrafted free agents? I mean, is that what we're looking at here? There are guys out there on the couch somewhere looking for work, veteran players who might even be better than David Montgomery?
Yeah, I mean, it is Cohen right now. Ryan Nall is still on the roster, but, you know, Ryan Nall was good on special teams, but you're not going to see – they've made it very clear that Ryan Nall is not part of their plans as an every-down back in any way, shape, or form. They did go out and sign a couple of rookies, Napoleon Maxwell and I think Artavis Pierce, I want to say. So there's a couple of guys at the very bottom of the roster, but I remember – Hub talking either to you guys or on the draft show about maybe the Bears are going to go snag a running back because there were so many good ones that were still left in the second rounds and beyond, and they did not. So that does say, it does tell you they have a ton of faith in David Montgomery. And I haven't lost faith yet because I don't know if we've seen the extent of his powers or what he's capable of doing yet.
Carlos Hyde is available. Now, he'll be 30 in September, but is there any reason to believe he isn't a better running back at the NFL level than the guy the Bears have right now?
I mean, I think that right now he is, but Dan, I keep saying it. We don't know if David Montgomery might be a really damn good NFL running back, and he showed flashes of it. We know that he is more adept than a lot of the running backs the Bears have had recently in terms of the passing game, a lot better than Jordan Howard, that's for sure. And, you know, for whatever it's worth, too, from having some pretty serious talks with Montgomery, he wants to be great. I mean, he brings up the name Walter Payton all the time, and I get it. That can sound like a lot of fluff to a lot of people. But there is an earnestness with David Montgomery, and he even said to me he hates that he let fans down last year, that it really upset him that he thinks that fans maybe thought he didn't live up to what he was supposed to be. So, in other words, my long way of saying that I want to see David Montgomery full force this year. Like, let's see what you got, back to the drawing board, and let's see if he can blossom into a good running back, because I think he can. But you don't seem like you're a big Montgomery guy, Mac.
I just don't know. It's a high risk vocation. They need a backup for him, and I'd rather have somebody with NFL experience. Hyde last year rushed for more than 1,000 yards with the Texans, with a 4.4 yards per carry average. That's more than David Montgomery's done. And granted, it's a different team and it's a different offense. I understand all those things, but I have no reason to believe they wouldn't be better off with him than without him. I want to keep going on this and talk about where the pressure level should be, where our expectations really need to be for this Bears team this year when it comes to the head coach and his future. Now, it's not something that I don't think is a very realistic possibility. The Bears going in another direction after 2020. I got to agree with Parkins. It would have to fall off the map so badly. It would have to really be a disastrous season. But that's certainly a possibility, too. I hope it doesn't happen. But I want to talk about where our expectations really should be and how hot that frying pan should get. Grody's in for Parkins. I'm Mac, and you're listening to the Score Sports Radio 670.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And they hand the football off to Cohen, and he'll be run out of bounds. So, again, the Chicago Bears offense. You know, look, they've had a lot of things go their way on the defensive side, but this offense is just, it's painful to watch these last couple of weeks.
Well, you think about in that red zone, right? So I think it was this. I don't know about that call. That call might say this, that I don't know if I have trust in Mitchell Trubisky to throw the ball into the end zone. Let me run it and set myself up for a field goal.
Tom Brenneman and Chris Spielman did a couple of Bears games last year, and the more Tom Brenneman does NFL football, the more I like him. I think he's pretty comfortable to editorialize. Not many of them do that, Mark Grody. I enjoy a Brenneman telecast.
You know what's funny? Just listening to him there, his voice was frightening me. He has a very sinister sound when something is going poorly. We all remember this happening years ago. Like, it's just, like, the tone that he brings is just perfect. Like, it sounded to me like catastrophe was occurring or was about to occur. Like, he should be a tornado warning guy, you know? I mean, that's, he's got something there.
Yeah, well, you know, the crowd helped him. The crowd probably encouraged him a little bit, and they've got those parabolic mics jacked way high so they could capture the spirit of it. You know, a case in point on running the ball when it continuing to run it when it doesn't work, Parkins' boy Andy Reid did exactly that during the Chiefs' run to their first Super Bowl since the merger, prior to the merger, in Super Bowl IV. in the AFC Championship game against Tennessee, they out-Titans to the Titans. They rushed for 10 first downs to Tennessee's 4, and while it didn't go well for Damian Williams, he had 17 carries. He had 45 yards only, averaging 2.6 yards per carry. Patrick Mahomes was their leading rusher with 53, but they have 27 rushes and managed to keep the ball for half the game. And in the second half, keep it away from Derrick Henry after he had such a monster previous 4 or 5 games for Tennessee.
Yeah, I remember that, and I remember a lot of us wondering out loud and to ourselves, I wonder, you know, Matt Nagy is seeing all this and, you know, seeing how the run game is still something that can work in this day and age. And, you know, we were talking about it, Mac. It's a big year for a lot of guys. It's a big year for Tariq Cohen, and I mentioned James Daniels. It's a big year for Anthony Miller. Khalil Mack's got something to prove after last year. Mitch Trubisky, has there ever been a bigger year in his life? But I think that maybe the biggest year this year in terms of something to prove is Matt Nagy. He's not going to get fired. I agree with you. It would take something catastrophic. It would take embarrassing the organization to see that get cut short. And I thought it was hilarious that Matt Miller said on your guys' show that Matt Nagy is going to be out and he's going to be an offensive coordinator in the next couple of years again. I thought that for a guy who is usually very rational and poignant, Matt Miller, that was a little bit off the deep end there, you know?
Well, is it? Why is it off the deep end? He's an offensive genius whose offense doesn't put points on the board 2 years consecutively.
It's got to get better, but they're not going to. My point is, the Bears are not going to tear it down, and I don't think they should. I mean, you have to allow for this thing to work and run its course a little bit longer. But I agree with you. Matt Nagy majored in offense. He was brought in. He got the interview with the Bears because of offense. The offense has been mediocre since he got here, and that is everything. I mean, the Bears likely would have advanced in 2018 with a better offense. They probably would have been ahead by more and not needed a field goal at the end. They probably would have made the playoffs last year, as crazy as that sounds. You had a top 10 defense. If you had a better offense, an average or above average offense, you might be in the playoff picture at the end of last year. And now they have a super complicated scenario this year where you have a quarterback competition between Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky, and that competition has been complicated and compromised at this point. And you're going to have a real keen eye, instinct, and gut feeling on who your starting quarterback is this year. So I don't think there's no way he's going to get fired, but is it a big year for Matt Nagy? Hell yeah. I mean, he brought in for offense, make the offense good.
I have no desire to, you know, put the flames to the pitchfork today on the 21st of May, but I've thought about this a lot, got a lot of idle time to think about things like this. And when your forte, if you prefer, is offense, and your offense doesn't score and it doesn't get better, at what point do you have to wonder, did we get duped? Andy Reid sold this guy as the next great guy. Is it possible Andy Reid was wrong? It probably wouldn't be the first time he was wrong.
Is it possible that Andy Reid was wrong?
I mean, if they can't get to league average this year, if they are a bottom half a dozen, bottom eight team in offense, Why would you sign up for a fourth year for this?
Well, here's what I think would happen. Like I said, and this all goes back to the disclaimer of if it's a 1 or 2 win team or something catastrophic, then yeah, then you change things. What would happen, I think, because Matt Nagy is such a well-respected head coach in the Bears locker room, and he is good at bringing them together. And on his watch, they have been winners. I mean, they won 12 games and they won 8 games. So you can't really rationalize getting rid of them. But what would happen, Dan, is that you would see him maybe hand off play calling or get more help with that. Have somebody else bring in somebody, have somebody that is on their staff now become the play caller, give them a little bit of help, because on the overall, they like Matt Nagy. I think the players like Matt Nagy. I know offense and defensive guys were swearing by him last year, and this was on and off mic. So I think that as the full the full picture of a football coach. Matt Nagy's got that part down. He just doesn't have the part down that he's supposed to have down. And I think that, yes, there would be major changes, salute, but there would not be, I don't think there'd be a firing. Does that make sense, or would you want the whole thing
I don't know. I'd have to wait and see how it, if the offense is terrible and they miss the playoffs again and, you know, it's bottom feeder level, I probably would say, unless it's because of injuries, you know, on both sides that, you know, make it a tough putt for him. But, yeah, I don't want to – I probably wouldn't endorse another year like last year. I don't care if they win eight games. You know, you're not brought here to win eight games. You're brought here to have an offense – finally get this offense into the 21st century. Texter is suggesting my suggestion for a backup running back is not a good one. He says, why would they bother to do that right now? There's no way the Bears should be re-signing. They should be re-signing a gadget backup running back. That's all. He says teams are just not re-signing number one running backs. Well, they got a gadget running back. His name's Tariq Cohen. He's your gadget running back if you want one of those.
Yeah, and he was great at it 2 years ago, man. He was one of the biggest parts of that offense and then just went away last year. And this is going to sound crazy, Mac, but something that that I thought got to Nagy a little bit was when he was on the score recently. I think you were off that day. Spiegel was in with Danny Parkins, and they played for him what the mayor said, and here's how that went down.
Hey, Matt, we are very lucky we get to talk to people like you on this radio station, and we get to talk to the mayor every once in a while. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, this was her. She's been on The Score, and she's done this, which was on NBC Sports Chicago.
I'd like to see Nagy's play calling be a little less predictable and pedestrian. You know, running up the gut every time. Yeah, that's not working so well.
How would you respond to the mayor of Chicago who has thoughts on your play calling and running up the gut, Coach Nagy?
Yeah. Now, you know what? Hey, everybody has their own opinions, and that you know, for me, it's very, very important that what we do as a organization, whether that's coaches, whether that's players, that we do everything we can to focus on 2020. And the beautiful part of what's so great about the Chicago city, the Chicago fans, is that people care, right? And I think that that's what you find is that the care is there. They want the best to be competitive. You know, they want the best team possible to be competitive in these situations. And so that's what we worry about, and that's what we control. And so everybody has different opinions, and we all have our own. And I think right now for us, we're just focusing on what we can control, and that's 2020, and that's doing everything we can in these Zoom meetings right now to make sure that we're putting points up on the board and stopping people on defense.
So Dan, Nagy took that well, but
yeah, he's a politician in his own right with that reply.
Yeah, but he was not. Honestly, I knew they were going to play that for him, and I thought Nagy was going to be more playful about it. You know, like take a jab back at her, or hey, we'll see her on the sidelines, or just kind of take it for what it was. But, and this is going to sound like I'm being way too serious here, but the mayor kind of hit Matt Nagy where it hurts. To him, that wasn't funny. Went after his play calling. I mean, that's everything. That's his identity. That's Matt Nagy's brand. Play calling, play designing, offense. It's his passion and his love. And then in a genuine way, he was presented with audio of someone tearing it down. She kind of got it wrong in terms of what Matt Nagy does or doesn't do, but that's not the point. I thought that was a gut punch to him a little bit, because he's competitive as hell as well. He's got an ego too. And I think that, you know, we talk so much about being motivated by outside forces and everything we saw with Jordan recently. So are coaches. And Matt Nagy, man, I mean, he is, we hear and see this really polished, playful guy, but he's a mother effer out on the field. You know, I mean, he's loud too. He is energized, and he was out there to want to tear teams apart and win big. And then when somebody comes on and throws that at him, I think that took the wind out of him a little bit.
So, excuse me, do you think he hangs up the phone after handling it very well on the air and says to his PR man, F that mayor and her thoughts on my running game.
Yeah, I do. I think there was probably a little bit of, what the hell was that? Jesus, I got the mayor coming after me. But, I mean, he said all the right things, and he said, you know, this city is so passionate, and he's right. And it seems like he's always gotten that, maybe even better than other head coaches, because it is such a Bears-crazed town. He does get it, but I think that even as he was talking, I just sensed the lack of playfulness in his voice, and the fact that, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it's funny and it's cool that the mayor's so into it. But like, if she was ripping Dan, your talk show hosting hasn't been great this year. Ha ha ha. That's really funny. You know, it's like, no, that's not funny at all. So I think Nagy was hurt's a bad word, but I think he kind of took that seriously.
We appreciate all of you who are getting to us via text message. We'll get to some of them as, of course, today's show rolls along. Ron Coomer from our Cubs broadcast is going to join us in about 15-20 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the upcoming documentary on the 98 home run race, and also a little bit of news reported by John Heyman today on what might be going on with baseball as they continue to hammer out labor negotiations. When we come back from a shorty, I want to get into Wonder Boy and his question to Matt Nagy.
Okay.
I'm talking, of course, about Parkins, Mr. 21st Century Football. He's a young guy who likes points on the board. We'll get into that in a second. Grody's in for Parkins. I'm Mac, and you're listening to The Score.
Dan Jr.
Hey, I know Bears fans, and I know you don't have much time. They're very excited because, yes, you are just getting started. We talked to a lot of Bears fans, young, old, and I loved when you said, you know, they didn't bring me in here to run the I formation because I saw what you did in Kansas City and what they just did last year, and I'm a young guy, and I want you guys throwing it all over the field. But we got, like, old-school, bear-down, bear-weather Bears fans that listen to this radio mm-hmm. station. What can you tell them about, like, a pledge to the running game or where you feel like the running game exists in Bear football in 2020? Because a lot of people have questions about it, Matt.
Listen to Wonder Boy divorcing himself from anything that has to do with physical, old school, but bear down Bears fans and bear weather Bears fans. Oh my God, what a bag. How baggy
like
is that?
I like Reed. I like Deshaun Watson. I don't really like running the ball. Yeah.
I want to see you sling it all over the yard. Yeah, I'm a young guy. Okay, young man. Young man. His hero, Andy Reed, ran the football to win games this past year. Jeez. Is trying well, Tanny, what did you say? Trying to throw a bone to all the mouth breathers.
Yeah, I got a lot of idiot Bears fans. They're dumb and they don't know what they're talking about, but they want to run the ball. What do you say to those idiots?
Oh, that's vintage Parkins. That is him in a nutshell right there, isn't it? Distancing myself. Just for those who, you know, gotta take care of all of my customers here. Throw him a bone, Matt. Tell him something about your running game, that prehistoric form of football. Oh God,
Parko is right that it would be real neat if it did work. If it did work that way, and you could get away with running the ball seven times for 17 yards in the game, that'd be neato. Unfortunately, that's just not, even in this NFL, that's still not the way it works.
Yeah, you're right. Peoria Matt reminds me the Bears are not the Chiefs. You're right. The Chiefs drafted a tackle in the first round and another good one in the second round. The Bears don't draft tackles. You're right. And the San Francisco 49ers had a pair of first-round tackles who participated in Super Bowl 54. All right, we're gonna get off football and get back to baseball in a couple minutes. Ron
There's
Coomer.
No vineyard out there where they're growing left tackles.
I love Jerry Angelo. I really love. He had so many Jerry Angelo's greatest hits, man. That's certainly one of the tracks I'd put on it. So Coomer's gonna jump on in just a few minutes. Stick around. We're halfway home on the Scores Afternoon Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.